He will help us through it. And we've been studying in Joshua, and I just love that scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. You know, can you put it up? Joshua 1, 9, be courageous. Don't be dismayed. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever so thou goest. And he has been there for me. He has been there for me. And I thank God for it. And let me see. And because of all the things that God did, what an awesome friend in God that we have. Let's go to John 15. I mean 13, sorry. John 15, 13. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. John 5, chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And it's so, so awesome that God calls us his friend, you know. And I'm glad I'm his friend. And I am so glad that I'm his friend because, you know, it says in the Bible that, you know, we are to repent and you know, and go on and turn away from all those old things. And, you know, and once, and I just felt like once I was, had repented and came to God, you know, he truly. He truly let me know that he was his friend. And he is the one that I count on. And I thank him, and I thank him all, every night. Rebecca, she always says, get on your face and pray. Get on your face. And you know what? I do. And the Lord answers. He may not answer right away, but he answers. But I just said everything here, you know, pleading the blood and about the blood and his friend and being a friend of God's, that's where I want to be. That is where I want to be, and that's where I want to stay. And one more thing that doesn't really have to do much with the blood that God put on my heart to say is about the Holy Communion. And it says, communion is a time of recommitment and to literally examine ourselves to prove ourselves worthy. And that's in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 29. We do this to renew our dedication to Christ. So, it also says in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, and Jesus says that make sure, and I'm paraphrasing, make sure that when you do Holy Communion, make sure that you are doing it for the right reason. And because you are hurting yourself more by just going, just doing and following what everybody else does instead of just doing it for because you are worthy and because, you know, you have repented and you have came to God and said, okay, God, I'm ready, you know. So that's what Holy Communion is about. It's about eating the flesh and drinking the blood. So I just thank God for giving me that. And but you can read more about it. And sorry, I'm, you know, not exactly saying it exactly like I wanted to. But I thank God for the Holy Communion. In Jesus' name. Oh, Sister Linda? Praise God. Sister Linda has a song. Thank you, Jesus. Every time Sister Linda sings, I always feel the Spirit. She is such a blessing. God blessed her with a nice voice. Thank you, Sister Linda.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Hallelujah. For he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because he lives, hallelujah, we will live also. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Sister Lisa.
I was just into that. I was into that song. Almost lost my little, my turn. Good morning, saints. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's such a wonderful day. I was yesterday going over my notes, and I just couldn't stop at one book in this Bible. I mean, everything in here gives us the reason why. You know, he did what he did for us on that cross. I wanted to go back a little bit. John chapter 3, 1 through 12. I'm sorry, 1 through 21, actually, where it talks about being born again. It talks about not being born again in our mother's womb, but becoming a new man. Sorry. That song just gets me. On John 3, verse 5, where we are baptized with the works of the Holy Spirit, it says, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Thank you. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listened, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." We do not know. Most of us do not know. But most of us do know where we belong. Then we go to John 4. Yes, the book of John is the one where I had to read all through it. But John 4, chapter 7. Talks about a woman. Jesus meets a woman in Samaria by the well, where she at first did not believe who she was really talking to. She did not know, but once God worked in spirit, it starts where there come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, asked drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. That's the earthly water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm sorry. Verse 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour come when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. We will worship him in all places. I want to pretty much also go to John 6, chapter, I'm sorry. Let's go with chapter 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, is the Sea of Tiberias. This is where Jesus feeds 5,000 and also shows where he does walk on water. But I do want to go. I'm sorry. A great multitude. This is a verse 2. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus knew how he was going to, where that bread was going to come from. I want to go to John 6, verse 35. Actually, 32. Jesus said unto them, surely, surely, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giving you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and given life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believe on me shall never thirst. But I said unto thee that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father given me shall come to me, and him that come to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Yes. I am the bread which came down from heaven, the bread of life. John chapter 14. There's so much. I just don't know how to express myself to let you guys know what I feel when I was reading through all this. I wish I had the words to let you guys know, but it's all in here. It's all in here. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye be, may also. And whether I go, ye know the way. And verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. In Hebrews 12, this is why we always remember what he did for us on this day, resurrection, why he's here, why we have him. Chapter 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why? So that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Continue praising. Continue praising. Continue. He is with us. He is with us. Thank you. Jesus, thank
you. Hallelujah. Praise God. She is eating the bread of life, the word of life, isn't she? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What an awesome word. Hallelujah. He lives, right? He lives. He died and he rose again for us so that we can live, so that we can praise him, so we can praise his holy, mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to go really quick to John 11:25, because Sister Linda went there. I was going to go there. Hallelujah. Yes, such an awesome, awesome scripture. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, through that he may die, he shall live. And if we believe, what does that mean? We believe. We believe in him, we shall live, right? And because we believe in him, we praise him. He put a song in our hearts in Psalms 146, like we've been studying Psalms 146, verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Yes, because why? While you live, because he lives, we will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will magnify the Lord as Mary did.
murmur, complain. Happy resurrection, Exodus said. No happy Easter, not nothing. Because you know what? He died for us. Like Sister Cynthia said, there's not a better donor than him. There's not a better donor than him. Hallelujah. Psalms 146, Mary says, magnify my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Is he your Savior? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all, not just his then, but all generations will call me blessed. We are going to be calling it blessed, which he is blessed. But because of Jesus, because he lives in us. Hallelujah. For he is mighty and has done great things. Great things. What a greater gift can he have done for us but to die for us. And holy is his name. And he has mercy. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. And he has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty for their thrones and exalted the lowly. And he has, what's the story right here? He has filled the hungry with good things, with good things. And his rich, and the rich he has sent away empty. Praise God. I'm going to go to one more and praise God. In 1 Samuel verse 2. My heart rejoices in the Lord. Is your heart rejoicing? Hallelujah. Your heart should be rejoicing. You should be leaping. You should jumping over walls today because he lives. That's why, because he lives, we're able to stand here and praise him. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My heart is exalted. My strength. He gives us strength. He gives us strength, hallelujah, to overcome anything. And I smile at my enemies, hallelujah. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy. No one is holy like the Lord. For there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and we learn knowledge. We're learning of his knowledge and of his love. By him, actions are weighed. And I'm going to go all the way down to verse, I'm trying to hurry up here real quickly. Verse 8, he raises the poor from the dust. Yes, he does. And he lifts the beggar from the ash heap, the dunghill from the dust, to set them among the princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. We are inheriting the throne of his glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard their feet of his saints. What he's done to us, just like he's done with Joshua. Wherever you put your foot, you shall possess it. Wherever you shall put your foot, that means your mouth. Whatever you speak, that's what you have possessed. Hallelujah. So if you praise him, what are you doing? You're possessing it all. You're possessing what he has gave you. Hallelujah. For he will guard the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by no strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against him, and the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. And he already did that when he died on the cross for us. He already did that, and he rose again for us. And he will give strength to his king. His king is Jesus Christ, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Sister Angie blessed me so much with this word in Galatians 4. I'm going to go there really quickly, and that's going to be my last one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, praise God. Hallelujah. It was his fullness. He makes the decision in our life. He's the one that puts it there. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. What a mighty God. He knows what he's doing. We don't know, but he knows. All we have to do is put our faith and our trust in him. Hallelujah. To redeem. Are we redeemed? Let the redeem of the Lord say so. To redeem those who were under the law. Well, we are not under the law anymore because we are under his blood. Hallelujah. That we might receive the adoptions of the sons. And because you are sons and daughters, hallelujah, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, into your hearts, crying out. And what do we do? What do we do? We cry out, Abba, Father, hallelujah. Therefore, you, me, us, all of us, because he died for us, you are no longer. Rise up, arise, wake up, no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then a heir of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He lives. We shall live also and continue to live for him. And could you have a praise in our mouth because he died for us and he left us with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Ronald. Bring it on, baby. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Happy Resurrection Day. Praise God. I'm last in this. Really? Wow. Wow. What a great day. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. God is so good. The choir sang a song in Jesus' name. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we will shout it out. We will shout. We will shout to the name of the Lord. We will shout. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your worship. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we shout. We shout to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We shout. I've been sitting back there holding that back for 40 minutes. Because God has been just screaming to me. Shout, brother, shout. Let the redeemed say so. My Lord. So I got 10 minutes. I'm going to try and do this. So many great messages, so many great words. Sister Alicia, you touched on something I was going to touch on a little bit. I want to talk about my big brother. Now, all y'all know I have two younger brothers, but I have a big brother, too, that I never talk about in public. Well, I'm talking about him in public now because let the redeemed say so. All right? So, Jesus Christ, what a wonderful man. This is a man of great character. This is a man of great purpose. This is a man of great invigoration. He was God's embodiment. He was the embodiment of God, okay? And he was our example, okay? So, in John 6, I'm going back to John 6. I'm going to try to read through this really quickly because I got 10 minutes. But in John, it says... Again, this is when Jesus had come from Tiberias and was going into Capernaum. And he was explaining to the people in attendance what he meant, what his representation was, which is so powerful. So at verse 24, in John 6, verse 24, it says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And this is a representation of what we are. We as carnal beings, we feast on the world, not the word. We feast on the things that we can see, not what touches us from heaven. Okay, so what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, "I know you. I know your heart. I know your spirit. You can't fool me. But let me explain why you really are here." Okay, the Lord says here in the next verse, he says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And I referred back to Matthew 3:17. And Matthew 3:17, it says, "A voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So God put a lot into Jesus. God said, "I'm going to give you the embodiment, the representation of my mind. And this is my Son." And so when my Son speaks, you better listen. What he's given you, you better accept it. You better take it. You better make it part of who you are. Okay? And so it goes on and it says, "Then said they unto him, 'What shall we do that we might work the works of God?'" So in other words, he got their attention. When he said what he said about not eating the meat that perisheth, he got their attention. And all of a sudden they said, "We want what you just offered. We don't want the fish and the loaves. We want the Holy Spirit. We want the Word of God." Okay? And Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our God, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, what sister offered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Okay? And in John, if you go to John 3, verse 13, it says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God, or Jesus, is the standard. Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the food. Jesus is the water. Jesus is the meat. Jesus is the spirit. Jesus is the love that you are supposed to receive, not the world. Jesus provides it all. So powerful. Jesus provides it all, right? So what Jesus is saying, you've had your time here as a carnal being, and under the law, you've been fed from the earth. I want to feed you from the well of heaven. That's why I'm here. I want to bring you the well here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore, evermore." It's this bread. They said, "Evermore, give us this bread. Evermore. We no longer want what's here. We want what you have." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not." And the reason why Jesus said that is because he knew that we are still not sure. We still have a have a have a have a piece of us that wants to hang on to this world. And he's saying, if you truly want this, you have to let it all go. You have to let it all go. There cannot be a piece left. There cannot be a piece left. You have to let it all go. Okay? Sorry, I got lost here for a second. Next verse says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no way cast out. Meaning, if you come to me and you truly, truly want this, and you truly want your, you want to give your life over to Christ, I will not turn you away. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you are. You can come home. You can come into the kingdom if you truly want to be here. If you want to open up your heart and be honest and face who you truly are. I always say, when we are faced with, if we really truly look at ourselves in the mirror, because we always look at ourselves in the mirror almost every day. We brush our teeth, we do our hair, we do all that, whatever. But if you truly had that opportunity to take that mask off and look at yourself, you probably wouldn't like what you see. And that's most of us. That's probably all of us. But God is saying, you don't have to worry about that anymore. God is saying, it doesn't matter. Come as you are. Come as you are is what God is saying. Come as you are. Okay? And in the next verse, well, actually, yeah, in the next verse, I want to, I don't know how much time do I have, brother? I got about a minute? Okay, that was a quick 10. Okay, so I want to go down to verse 51. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. If you go over to, actually, and this is what we're talking about today. This is Resurrection Day, okay? Jesus Christ gave his flesh for the world. He sacrificed himself. He said that I will do this. I will die for you so that you can live. I used to say when my brothers, when we were younger, I would do anything for my brothers. I say this for my kids. I would die for you. But Jesus died for me, so I don't have to die for them. Does that make sense? You're not hearing me. Because before Jesus, if I died, I was dead. I wasn't coming back because that's under the law. But Jesus died, so I don't have to die. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus gave us something that we didn't have. We didn't have it. We didn't have it. Jesus brought it to us as a gift. A gift. Right? So I just want to, I had a little more, but I'm gonna be obedient to the time. I just want to say I just praise God for just opening this word up to me, and it's so powerful. It's so powerful. But I just thank you. And God bless you all. Happy Resurrection Day. God bless you. Big brother.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise. That's right. Woo! None can preach. Hey, Pastor, are we getting fired over here? We lost a job. Scriptorian, scripture after scripture. That's what this church produces. Scriptorians. We're not here to play games. Come on, we want the word of God. We want the bread of life. Come on, we want the water of the word. We're not here to fool around. It's late in the day. We need to redeem the time that is at hand. This word of life. Come on. You've seen it up. It's a miracle, what you just saw right there. That was a miracle. My brother came a long way. But God has put a word in his heart. That brother was teaching right there. Woo, my God. I felt that anointing. My God, I feel good. Woo, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Got my mom over there just praising the Lord. Hey, that's all right. I know she, because the fruits of her labor is not in vain. It's not in vain. Praise God. And just everyone that came up here, you did a wonderful job. You touched it right on the scriptures. You shared the scriptures, and you know, it just really blessed my heart. And we just appreciate the Lord and all that he's done for us. And I just thank God for this precious word. See, this word, it's the word that does it. It's the life-changing word. It's a living word. Amen. It's a living word. And that word will change you. It that's what it's there for. See, that's why Christ came, born under the law. Because there was no way out. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, that our mothers conceived us. We were all born in it, so there's no one perfect. There's none righteous, no, not one. But thanks be to God because of the cross, because he rose on the third day. Come on. And I want to go back to that scripture in Galatians chapter 4, let's start at chapter 4, verse 1. And they just said so elegantly the word, the bread of life, and the water, the well, and just how we were born under the law. But Christ came to deliver us from the law. And he did it by the cross. He did it by the blood. That's why we sing the song, there's power in the blood. Because the blood has redeemed us. His blood. See, he was the ransom for our soul, because we had no oblation. We had nothing to give. We were poor in spirit. We were poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked. We were not clothed. But Christ, who was rich, became poor, that we might become rich in spirit. Amen. And let's just go there in verse 4, chapter 1. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ not from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but under tutors, under government, until the time appointed of the Father. Okay? So we know Christ came, a babe, born in a manger. He had to grow up. He was tested at all points without sin. So, even so, we were children. This is why he delivered us. We were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. See, we were born in the elements. We walked the course of this world. We had the conversation of this world. We were children. And Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like the child. I done things like a child. But the scriptures goes on. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Come on. Made under the law. Because we were under the law. And sin took law as an occasion and pointed us out. We were exceedingly sinners. But Christ, because of the blood of the Lamb, hallelujah, washed us from our sins. He says to redeem. Why did he do it? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Come on. That we might receive sonship. This is why he redeemed us. Amen. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed us from under the law, to adopt us into sonship, that we may be the heirs of grace as he is. Amen. Grace has come, and Christ is the grace of God. And so we were born under the law, and he delivered us from under the law. We were born in sin, but to redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sonship. Amen. I once was a child, but now I become a man. And I put away those childish things. Because now I'm walking in sonship. I'm walking in the newness of life. He redeemed us from bondage and delivered us and brought us into sonship now. We're joint heirs, heirs together with him in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it says, because ye are sons, God has sent, because you are his son. That's why he sent his spirit. That's why he said, you must be born again. You must, because you're his child. Hallelujah. And sister said about Sister Cynthia, that she was glad because those, temptations, corrections. Because if we weren't his son, then we would never be corrected. We'd be considered bastards. We will never be corrected. But we're not fatherless. We have a father who corrects us for our good. Amen. Because he loves us. And he says, wherefore, thou art no more servants or slaves, as sister said, I know in her Bible, slaves, but also but a son. But a son, and if a son, then heir, an heir of God through Christ. Come on, we are an heir of salvation. We're an heir of grace through Christ Jesus. So he redeemed us. That was who our Redeemer is. We say the verse, my Redeemer liveth. That's why Job said, my Redeemer liveth, because he lives. Amen. And because he lives, we shall live also. Praise God. Go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter. And let's start at chapter 1, verse 13 on down. Chapter 1, verse 13 on down in 1 Peter. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You see what, when God begins to deal with us, when the word begins to deal with us, it's cutting off all the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the conversation of the world, what we were once in. And now begin to put on the helmet of salvation. Begin to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on your belt of truth. Put on your shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. Begin to tighten up the ship. Gird your loins, the loins of your mind. Amen. That you allow the Lord to build a defense around you, around your mind, so the enemy can attack your mind. Begin to walk in the grace of God. And it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Amen. Not drunken thoughts. Drunk in the things of the world. That was once under the law, as my brother was showing us. That was so awesome. Being drunken in that spirit. It's called the spirit of the world. That was you're not a child anymore. God has brought you into sonship. Now it's time to gird up the loins of your mind. Be ye sober. Hallelujah. Be ye vigilant in the things of God. And hope. It says, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Basically, what it's saying is that your hope is rest in grace. Amen. And grace begins to, the grace that was once given to us in Titus, I think it's Titus 2, verse 11 on down. It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men teaching. So we know now God has ordered our steps, teaching and righteously, soberly in this present world, looking unto the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, whom was given unto us to redeem us from all iniquity. Hallelujah. That we might purify a peculiar people. Hallelujah. A zealous unto good works. That's what he does. He redeemed us from the blood. He redeemed us from iniquity. He may be a peculiar people, set apart, zealous of the works of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And go on down, verse 14, as obedient children, you see? There's where obedience comes in. That's why we have to tighten up the ship. Yes, that's why we have to tighten up the ship. Here's where obedience comes in, obedient to the word of God. And it says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and the ignorance. We're not conformed to that anymore. So don't try. You can't fit a circle in a square. Come on. Not fashion, not conform to that anymore. Praise God. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. There's a transformation in this. That means he redeemed you from the formal things. Come on, from the formal thinking, from the formal spirit. But he transforms it or translates it, redeems you from it by the renewing of your mind through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it says that obedient, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of in your ignorance. Because the ignorance is reserved for the fallen angels. They're in chains of darkness and ignorance. That's why we got to get out of that. It says, but as he which has called you, come on, is holy. His name is holy. It says, hallelujah. It says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation. Come on, be ye holy in all matter of conduct. Hallelujah. That means walk in the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Not holy. I mean, the outer appearing, but it's the hidden man. It's the inner man wherein is great price. Come on. That means you separate yourselves from the things of the world. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the eternal work in your heart. Being cutting off those edges, those rough edges. Smoothing down those rough edges. Amen. And cutting out that flesh so we won't be so fleshly in the world. But be girded up, amen, in the spirit of your mind. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he called us with a holy calling. It says, and if ye call on the Lord, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time in your sojourn here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition for fathers, were not redeemed by these corruptible things. I think Isaiah 52 verse 3, it says he has not redeemed them. He did not redeem them with money, or he redeemed them without money. Praise God. So my question is, why are we always preaching on it? Why are we always... Why is the preacher man always talking about money? Money did not redeem us. It does not go before us, and it does not follow us. Christ, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He redeemed us by his own blood. Hallelujah. That was the redeeming sacrifice, the price that was paid on the cross. For you and me, hallelujah. Praise God. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, for me. Hallelujah. He was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And he was manifested. Over 2,000 years on the cross, he came as through a womb of a virgin, as Mary, sister said, as Mary said, my soul, hallelujah, doeth my spirit, hallelujah, shall rejoice in God my Savior, because there was a Savior to be born, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and he knew he come to do the will of the Father, hallelujah, to bring many sons back unto the glory. And he's getting the job done. Hallelujah. And so he was manifested for you and I, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Why? Because he called you from before the foundation of the world. The scripture reads in chapter 8 of Romans, for who he did foreknow, he did destinate that ye be conformed into the image of his Son. Hallelujah. That he might be the firstborn of many brethren. That's you and me, hallelujah, of many brethren. And whom he did predestinate, hallelujah, he also called. And whom he called them, he also justified. justified. And who he justified them, he will also glorify. That's my God. That's the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. And it says, for he manifested for these last days, who by him doeth believe in God, that raised him up from the dead. Come on, do you believe today? I said, do you believe today? Hallelujah. And gave him glory, that your faith, woo, and hope might be in God. Hallelujah. That your faith and hope might be in God. That's what it is. It takes faith, saints. And faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That the hope that Christ put in you, it's in God. So he's holding you. He's carrying you. He's bringing you through. It says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You see how we purify our souls in obeying the truth. Obedience to the word of God. Amen. As Abraham was counted for righteousness because of his obedience. Amen. He was counted for righteousness. That's why they call him the father of faith. And promises was given to him. And we're adopted in the promises of God. Amen. Through faith. Oh my God, are you with me? So he redeemed us. We were once afar off. Could not see. But because his redeeming blood. Hallelujah. He brought us nigh. Praise God. And by faith we enter into this grace. Hallelujah. We have access. And it says, where am I? 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or sincere love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Why? Because you're fulfilling the law. They're fulfilling the law. Amen. That was once our schoolmaster, point out our sins, but to point us to Christ. But because of the love of Jesus Christ that was given, he says all the laws are fulfilled in this, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Hallelujah. And you love your neighbor as yourself. Come on. And all the laws are fulfilled in this. So we love with a sincere love. That's an agape love. That's the love of God. Hallelujah. So he redeemed us from hatred. He redeemed us from a heart against our brethren. And he gave us the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he commanded his love to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And it says, being born again. You see how he does it? Being born again. Not by through your mother's womb, as he told Nicodemus, but by the blood, by the water of by the Spirit of God. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible word of God. So not of perishable seed, but the imperishable word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we're born of this. He redeemed us by giving us a seed, the word of God, the incorruptible word of God. And redeemed us from a corruptible seed, being born in sin under the law, amen. With our transgressions and iniquity, but God delivered us from that, amen. He gave us what we call an overriding seed or an overriding law. Praise God! But he implanted that seed word in you, the incorruptible seed word that abideth forever. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, the seed word, shall never pass away. Christ is the word of God. Amen. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. Come on. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. But they received him not because they knew him not. But John said, we beheld his glory, the only glory of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The seed word. Hallelujah. And went, my God, when he rose from the grave, he said, Mary, don't touch me, for I have to go to the Father. Hallelujah. I have to present this sacrifice. Hallelujah. To the Father, but I will send unto you a comforter. Hallelujah. That will lead you into all truth. Praise God. And the scripture tells us If any man, hallelujah, believeth in him, praise God, he shall have everlasting life. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Oh, my Jesus. And it says, being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of men as the flower of grass. And the grass withereth away, and the flowers thereof falleth away. So we look at the things under the law, the things in the world, and we say, ooh, that man got a nice car. Ooh, they got a big old nice house. Ooh, he's making a lot of money. He got a good job. She got a good job. Ooh, they doing great. Ooh, look at all the accolades they got. They done went to a doctor of doctors. Wow. Praise the Lord. But guess what? It might have a little glory, but in due season, it withers. Come on. Get a dead flower and begin to shake it. It's as chaff. That life is, it withers away. What have you gained? What profit a man to gain the world and lose his only soul? Come on. Life is in Christ Jesus. He says, but the word. Come on, say, but the word. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which is by the gospel is preached unto you. Word, this redeeming word, this gospel word, hallelujah, that has been preached unto you. Isaiah, my God, says, how beautiful are the mountains of the feet of him that kind of brings good tidings, that publishes, my God, salvation, that brings good tidings of good. Praise the name of the Lord. He's unto Zion, the Lord God reigneth. Come on, this is the word preached unto you. The same word that has come to abolish death and brought life and immortality to gospel word. This good news, hallelujah. This redeeming word that has redeemed us from the law. For now, therefore, come on, there is no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Come on. From the law of sin and death. Jesus has done it. His blood, his redeeming word. Come on. He said, I am the bread of life. Come on. I am the manna sent from heaven, that a man shall eat and not die. Hallelujah. He told the woman by the well, if you drink of that water, you shall thirst again. But if you drink of me, if you drink of the well of life, it shall be in you a well springing up, come on, into everlasting life. This precious word, come on, this is the word that has delivered us, that has set us free. Come on, my Redeemer liveth, and because he lived, we shall live also. Praise God.